So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
On this episode of Conversations with Rich Bennett,
we found a bank that took my $135,000 in debt and restructured it into a 10-year fixed loan. That freed up my line of credit, $45,000 exact. That got me to break even 3 months later. This is how close it was between bankruptcy and break even 3 months. And I become the world leader in my category 18 months later. And that's when a Bill Gates company comes and says, hey, can you tell us how you did it? And I'm like, absolutely not. You wanted your buy. They say, how much? I said, millions. And they said, fine.
Really?
So I sold my business to Bill Gates for millions of dollars 18 months after the worst moment of my life.
Coming to you from the Freedom Federal Credit Union Studios, Harford County Living presents Conversations with Rich Bennett.
Come on.
You're faster than me.
Guys.
Hey, yeah.
That was quick.
We've been
together. Oh, man, you already said it. I was going to ask her. She remembered the dates.
Thanks for joining the conversation where we explore the stories and experiences that shape our world. I'm your host, Rich Bennett. I am thrilled to welcome Beate Shillette, the esteemed growth architect and founder of the Women's Code. Beate is celebrated for her dynamic approach to empowering visionaries and leaders, providing them with strategic blueprints and growth maps to enhance their business systems and leadership skills. Her journey from a first-generation immigrant in debt to a successful entrepreneur who exited her company in a multi-million dollar deal is nothing short of inspirational. As the host of the Business Growth Architect Show and recognized among the top 100 global thought leaders, her insights promise to be invaluable. So join us as we delve into her podcast and innovative strategies behind her business success. I got to ask you right away. So, first generation immigrant, and you were in debt when you moved over here?
No, I was not in debt when I moved over here. I had $5,000. But over the period of time after I lost my job and had to set up my own business because it was unemployable, that's when I started to go into debt.
All right, explain why unemployable?
I think I'm a little opinionated.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Just not when you want to work for an American corporation where they like you if you're different, and then that's the first thing they beat out of you. I had worked for a small company as an artist representative when I came to the United States, mm-hmm. and that worked well because it was kind of a more entrepreneurial type of business, and I was responsible on my own and didn't really have much to report to. And I built up a photographer representation business and a production company where we were doing still photography shoots. And then when we had a massive recession, I was laid off. And then I had to go out on my own right after this massive earthquake and after this, you know, ongoing recession and depression, and there really weren't any jobs out there to hire me, so I had to figure out how to make money on my own.
Wow. And what did you end up doing?
I started my own business for a photographer representation and production.
Okay.
And over the course of about 10 years, I built it up, went to 300,000, to 400, down to 250, to 500, down to 350, to 750, down to 500, and eventually I ran a $1 million business So I was in the top 4% of entrepreneurs that ever even make $1 million in revenue.
Wow.
And then everything started to go haywire.
Something you mentioned there, though, because a lot of people would have given up. You said basically the money coming in was up and down, up and down. And a lot of people, once they hit that one level and then go back down, they would have given up right away, but you didn't. It sounds like you kept going.
This is an interesting topic because you can look at this at a couple of different ways. You can look at it as a resilience exercise and say there is a greater force at work where you are being tested. I believe that those of us who've been activated by God, spirit, or universe, whatever you want to call it, generally tend to have pretty gnarly stories for the most part, because if you're here to do a big job, your story does not read. You woke up a princess, everything was handed to you, and then one day somebody crowned you a queen, and you lived happily ever after. I'm pretty sure those are not the stories that you hear. I think the stories that we hear of people that became something had to overcome. So there is a part of that where I believe that the resilience is a figuring out ground until you get to the point where you are where you need to be. And often stuff just doesn't work because you are on that path and you try different things and then you think you're a failure because what you did doesn't work. Whereas in reality, somebody's trying to show you which roads don't work. I compare this, Rich, very much to when you drive your car and you have a GPS and the GPS needs to be updated, but you ignore it because you're so busy. And then you get in the car and the GPS says, hey, Rich, update me. And you go like, I got to go to the barbecue. I got to go to church. I got to go to my buddies. Right. I got to listen to podcasts. I got to help people, whatever that is. And then one day, inevitably, they are building that on-ramp on the freeway, and that shortcut that you usually take is now closed. So now you're going to get out of the car. You're going to throw yourself on the ground like a two-year-old. You're going to throw a temper tantrum. You're going to go like this. You say, driving sucks. I'm the worst driver in the world. I can't believe I'm such a loser. I'll never drive another car in my life again. That's it for me. I give up, and it's too expensive anyway. Does nobody ever.
Right.
All you do is you go like smack to your own head, note to self, don't wait 6 months, update the GPS sooner. And then you wave at the gentleman in the hard hat and the cute outfit with the neon stripes. And as you drive away, you wave and say, all right, got it. This is not the way. Yeah. That's it. So if you look at your dead ends just like that in life, you're going to fare a lot better. Instead of saying, I'm such an idiot, I can't believe this is happening to me, you go, oh, the building and on-ramp here, that road is closed. I can't go here. And be glad that you excluded that way. So that's one part. The second part really ties in a lot with what you share on your show, and that is the addiction to drama. And I believe, I know people that unless there's a crisis they have to overcome, they can't function. And you look at it and you go, why does it always happen to this person? Why is the flooding of the backyard only happening to this person? Why is the sewer that breaks and floods the basement happening to this person? Why is this the person that has the third accident in 2 years? Why is it this person? That's because it is an addiction to drama and an attraction to always having been in some sort of a crisis. So we have to decide which one of the two is it.
It's the negativity thing. Negativity breeds negativity faster than positivity breeds positivity. And when you're thinking all those negative thoughts, you're going to pull that negativity towards you.
And that, I think, is the most difficult thing, because we want to go to that place where we do what we've been taught or told in school. And what we've been told in school is it's not enough to have an A in writing and reading. You also have to have an A in math and science and art and sports and this and that. And if you don't go into an AP class at 7 a.m, you're a loser anyway. And so we perpetually are trained in our lives to look for the areas of our lives that we're not good at. So we can beat ourselves up for being inadequate. And that's, I think, where the imposter syndrome comes from.
Oh, yeah.
But if we really look, if you look at the law of attraction or the universal laws, it's the opposite. You know, you want to stand in front of the mirror and go, wow, oh my God, I'm so beautiful, I barely can stand it. Instead of saying, is that a pimple?
Damn. Wow. Yeah, you know what? You are 100%, 110% correct there, too, because a lot of people do that. They see one flaw, and that's a – it's a, like they're looking in the mirror for them. They're looking in the mirror for the flaws.
What's wrong today?
Yeah.
What's wrong today? I did that with my sister. I was just in Germany, and I used to have a roommate who did that. Her name was Dagmar, and she passed away of cancer many years ago. But every time she saw a mirror, she would stop. She'd look in the mirror, and she goes like – I am so beautiful today. I mean, it is unfathomable. Wow, I'm gorgeous. That. And back at the time, I thought, you know, she's a little loony, which she was. But so I did that with my sister. So every time we walked by that hallway, I took my sister and I stood in front of the mirror with her and I said, wow, oh my God, wow. Just wow, look at us, how fabulous, gorgeous, and intelligent we are. And people can't do that.
I love that. I do. I've never tried that. Now, what I do a lot, and I think everybody needs to do this too, I'll look in the mirror and just look at myself and say, I love you. Just tell myself that I love myself. Because I think that's something that's missing in the world today too, is a lot of people don't love themselves and they don't respect themselves.
Yeah, just let me know how your wife reacts when, by from here on out, every time you walk by a mirror, you go, wow, God, I'm a good-looking guy. I want to know how that goes.
She wants to know why I'm talking to myself as it is. I say,
you just got to take her in front of the mirror with you and say, wow, what a good-looking couple we are.
No, because if I do that, she's going to look at me and say, what do you want?
No, then she's going to look at you and she's like, oh, I like that. I like that guy.
You know what? I'm going to try that then tonight. I'm going Please to. And if I get slapped, I'm calling you right away.
I don't think so. She's going to say what has gotten into you. And you say, that's my resolution for this year, is that I want to be more attentive.
I love that. I'm going to do that. Reframe. I'm going to do that. Jeez, thanks. I want to go back to, because during the recession, you actually sold that business, didn't you?
Yes, that was another one. That was, about 13 years later in, you know, right when there was another recession. And we had figured out how to find a market that was growing at the time. And I had lost my photography representation business because of a bad employee who had come up with a plan how to run a business, which was my business, without me, and did that with a key vendor of mine. And next thing I know, and invoices that I wrote were paid to them because they had called the clients and told the clients that I was no longer in business and that I had cheated and taken money, which was all not true. And so they got invoices paid to them.
Wow.
So that was gnarly. And then I thought that I needed to sue them because I wanted to be right. And I did. And that's how I got into debt in the first place. And I'm spending all this money on an attorney, not knowing that they were represented by one of the largest insurance companies in the country. And they had been covered under errors and omission under a group insurance from, you know, a very large insurance company for photographers that did a group insurance for thousands of photographers. And so we fight. And now I'm really, really deep into debt. But production season's coming around. I have clients are like Wrangler, Mercedes-Benz, BMW on the books. Things are great. I'm thinking, okay, they're coming in. It's September. Things are good. And then September 11th comes and everything is over in 24 hours. I mean, it was over. Wow. It was just over. Every single person canceled.
Oh, my God.
We're not coming. We're not coming. We're not coming. We're not coming. So now both of my business divisions completely in shambles. I'm thinking I may not make this lawsuit. I may go bankrupt over it. But we just made it. And then when it settled, I paid my debt. I paid my attorney and I ended up with nothing. And so I started this other business that coincidentally, this particular photographer had given me the idea for. Because we had sold a lot of stock photography images in interior and architecture. And don't say God does not have a sense of humor. He certainly does. And so this particular business, I knew that the living well or the attention to what your living room looked like, what your house looked like, decorating your kitchen, that people really were trending toward a nicer living environment at the time. We built up this business, but I had no money. So I got really accounts, which before that, nobody really cared. You know, before that, people bought sheets at Kmart and Walmart. And then suddenly, you know, really deep into debt. I was $135,000 in debt at one time. And now I'm borrowing money to pay interest on borrowed money. And that is what's called the death spiral in finance. The absolute death spiral. And I realized that I'd got to do something and go to Germany. I visit my dad and went to an international conference. My dad has a stroke.
Jesus.
My father did not have a stroke, Rich. My father had pancreatic cancer. And now my dad dies 6 weeks later. Now I'm in Germany at the funeral that I pay with money I don't have. My best friend has died, my biggest supporter, my number one guy.
Right.
My phone rings. It's my office in Los Angeles. We've just been served a notice. I'm losing the house. And at that moment, like, what do you do? You're in debt. There's death. My worst case scenario already happened.
Yeah.
There's no way out here. I mean, there's no way I can find at this moment in time. There just isn't. And I fell to my knees. I raised my fist and I yelled at God. And I said, you know what? You have a plan. This would be an excellent time to fill me in. Because there was an amount of disbelief of a WTF. What did I ever do to deserve all of this?
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't take advantage of people. I'm an immigrant. I'm doing this by myself. I'm doing the right thing. I put my daughter through by myself. I need a break here. It's just too much. And then I surrendered because I really had no other option at this point. I come back to the United States. I'm going to have to figure out how to find a bankruptcy attorney because it's over. I mean, it's just over.
God.
I get a letter from the White House, Rich.
From the White House?
From the White House.
Okay.
Because in my desperation, and because my former mother-in-law was such a nag, and she kept saying, why are you wasting your time with anybody? You need to go to the number one guy in the country. Write the president a letter. Did you write your letter yet to the president of the United States? If anybody can help you, it's the president of the United States. Did you write the letter yet? Have you written your letter yet to the president of the United States? If anybody can help you, it's you. And she just would not stop.
Wow.
And I'm like, at one point, Rich, I'm going like, I'm going to write the damn letter so we just don't have to have this conversation anymore. I get a letter from the White House. Imagine my surprise. And it says the president sends his best wishes. Of course, the president never saw the letter.
Right.
But what it did, it put me in touch with a small business administration with a number two in command. Because he also got a letter from the White House. And he goes, let me see who this nutcase is that wrote a letter to the president instead of calling me and picking up the phone. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Oh, wow.
What you don't know, right?
Yeah.
And so he put me then in touch with a couple of banks. We found a bank that took my $135,000 in debt and restructured it into a 10-year fixed loan. That freed up my line of credit, $45,000 exact. That got me to break even 3 months later. This is how close it was between bankruptcy and break even 3 months. And I become the world leader in my category 18 months later. And that's when a Bill Gates company comes and says, hey, can you tell us how you did it? And I'm like, absolutely not. You wanted your buy. They say, how much? I said, millions. And they said, fine.
Really?
So I sold my business to Bill Gates for millions of dollars 18 months after the worst moment of my life.
Wow. Good thing you wrote that letter, huh?
Well, let's just say my attitude toward her changed significantly.
I would hope so.
Well, I mean, the story really here is that when you are, you know, going back to the cul-de-sacs and the roads that are blocked, that we have such a judgment of what we believe is the path mm-hmm. that we ignore or judge or ridicule the signs along the way. Would I have not written that letter, that would have been a completely different story. And I really only wrote the letter to shut her up, if I'm really honest.
Oh, God. It's funny, but it's not funny because of everything you went through. But the outcome is amazing.
Isn't it? I mean, wow. If you tell somebody, is it 10, 13 hard years worth? For that kind of outcome, everybody will go like, yeah. Well, you don't know that when you're in it. Hello?
Well, and your stress, oh my God, had to be off the charts.
How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to feed my child? I'm going to put a roof over our head. How am I going to pay my bills? I'm going to pay rent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make anything happen.
And now you have a business, what it's called, the Growth Architect, right?
Yes. So today I work as a growth architect and I help people to land planes. You know, people that I help people landing planes. So a lot of visionaries and thought leaders like to have an idea and they fly that idea at 30,000 feet.
Okay. I thought you meant real airplanes for a minute.
And then they run out of steam.
Yeah.
And they crash and burn. And so that's why I say, I help land planes, idea planes, and I build structures and systems and growth plans around it to help people to land the plane so that they can make money.
And that's, you started at what, 2009?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Okay. And now you also added something to that, right? A podcast?
Yes. So we added the podcast about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so we have over 100 episodes now.
Nice.
And it was really designed to attack and tackle a topic that a lot of people don't like, and that's strategy.
Mm.
Like, how do you approach strategy? So when I say strategy, all the creative people already run for the hills. And when I say systems and processes, people say, yeah, I need that. But before I do that, I need to buy other unimportant things. And my message is very clear. You got to have a business model mm-hmm. and you need to reverse the business model into processes and systems, which I happen to know you do too, because you do nothing without a plan
right.
and nothing without a process or system attached to it. And when you do, then your creativity can soar because you have a framework or blueprint within which you can operate. And that's what I help people with, is to design that and to help them in simplified words and simple steps to understand what it actually is to have a strategy and how to implement that without that anxiety that so many people are experiencing.
Let's take a little break here. I need to tell you about a company that was ranked the top rated service center by Carfax. They're a full service automotive repair shop, and it's actually where I take my cars. I'm talking about American Auto Repair Sales and Service right there in Joppatown. They are reliable, they're responsive, and you can't beat their prices. Whether it's standard maintenance, engine auto service, heating and AC, exhaust service, transmission, auto electrical, whatever your car needs, they can take care of it for you. That's American Auto Repair. Just go to American Auto Repair, Inc., INC,
AmericanAutoRepair.com. Again, AmericanAutoRepairINC.com, or give them a call and set up your appointment at 410-679-9500. Again, it's 410-679-9500. They have over 30 years of experience and are absolutely the best car service around.
So you're actually talking to other business leaders and helping them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
As we talked about in the green room, I really like intelligent people.
Yeah.
And intelligent people, what I mean by that is not necessarily, you know, how you measure your IQ, that would be really judgmental. But from the perspective of if somebody has an idea, and I've done this thousands of times, and I know about colorful people. I come from photography.
Right.
I've been in the creative industry. I've seen the most colorful, crazy, non-conforming people you can possibly imagine that are now, you know, doing hair and makeup for celebrities, that are, you know, that are designing clothes for, you know, the Kardashians. I've seen people that you'd look at and you go like, that's never going to work. And it does work. So I want to help people that have these ideas to give them a shot at it by helping them flush out if that idea is a good idea, if there's a market for it, and then how do we bring it to market and what's the model?
Out of all these guests you've been talking to, and I, first of all, I want to commend you on starting a podcast, you know, for your business, because I think this is something a lot of businesses are missing out on. I think it may not be for every business, but I want to say probably 95% of the businesses out there should have a podcast. So a lot of these guests that you get on, do they, after talking to you, do they think about starting their own if they haven't already to help grow their business? Because I'm sure the podcast alone has helped your business grow.
Yeah. So there's two paths to this. So number one, I do a lot of podcast guesting,
right? You know, like this,
me being on your show. And I kind of like that because I find that I meet a lot of people that have a podcast that's not aligned with their business, which makes no sense to me. So the podcast has to be relevant to the business. Otherwise, why do it, right? And so I've gotten some business out of that by being on other people's shows and then doing the follow-up and talking about strategy and business models and then taking it from there. And on my own show, I find that we have two types of guests, those that elevate us and those who could be potentially our clients.
Good.
And those who elevate us are just amazing conversations about stuff that I'm really interested in. And those typically end up partnerships or collaborations or referrals or other things that go there. So, you know, again, you have to be very clear as you go in. The appeal of the podcast has something to do with the quality of the guest.
Yes.
I mean, it just does. The quality of the conversation is important.
Absolutely.
It's only the most single important thing. So I found that some of the guests that could be potentially clients just don't have the subject matter expertise that somebody does that has written numerous books and is a really an authority in the field. So it does, the clarity on what it is that you're trying to achieve is, as always, the most important thing.
Actually, can you walk us through a memorable episode of your podcast and what made it stand out for you?
Yes. So I interviewed Blaine Bartlett, and Blaine Bartlett is he's in a partnership with David Meltzer, which
okay.
I'm sure you've heard about. He has a TV show, an entrepreneur TV show. And so Blaine is a big mindset guy, executive leadership coach. And when we were talking on the show, we ended up talking about a very interesting book. It's called Working with the Law. I think the guy is called Gary or Jerry Halliwell. And it's like written in very old language. It's been around for a really long time. But it's in essence one of the most powerful books on on the laws, not just the law of attraction, but the universal laws that rule everything. And when you encounter somebody who has read an obscure book like you, and then you get really into it, that's just a memorable moment. Yeah. Because you set a connection on a level that you just didn't know existed, really.
So with the podcast, you're 100 episodes in, so kudos to you. It's already successful. Because a lot of people, I think the success rate for podcasts is only like 6%.
Yeah, and I think most people don't make it past the third episode.
Yeah, which is crazy. But what's been one of the biggest challenges for you so far with the podcast?
I think listener growth, because mm-hmm. I have found that AI is now responsible for all the algorithms and the... Mm. An AI is in its infancy. It's like a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So you have to tell a 2-year-old how to behave. But I think that the reliance on AI, even though it's a toddler, is a little bit too advanced for some of the companies. So there are no guardrails in place. Because AI cannot predict what's coming. But AI, you know, AI is what is and what's right. available on the internet. And we all know what's available on the internet, a lot of junk.
Yes.
So that part I found a little bit challenging. And to get the podcast in front of more of the right people. Mm-hmm. So that's been really one of the goals that we have for this next year for my business, is because I love the guests.
Yeah.
And now it's time to say, well, we are 100 and something episodes in. What are we going to now do? And the people that I'm now approaching to come on the show are just on such a much higher caliber than the ones I had first mm-hmm. that, you know, now I really want to return the favor and focus a lot on growth.
And where do you find most of your guests? I have a funny feeling.
We have, but... you know, we use a service called PodMatch, right. which we love. And we also have found that, you know, like, for example, Blaine Bartlett has a great podcast. Mm-hmm. And so we go and look at other podcasts and we say, who are the guests that are on other podcasts?
Right.
And then we reach out and we say, well, hey, we were on Blaine's podcast and we were very impressed with your episode. Would you like to be on our show? And now you have a very warm introduction because you have a mutual connection.
Podcast networking. It's
podcast
basically what
networking
it is.
101.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, what about, and I don't know if I'm sure you probably are, but what about your local Chamber of Commerce? Do you get any guests from there?
No. I mean, I have to actually look at that because, you know, I used to live in Culver City here in Los Angeles, and mm-hmm. I moved to the Pacific Palisades to be with my love.
Okay.
And we are here in the Pacific Palisades. It's not a ginormous place, but we have a lot of celebrities that live here. You know, mm-hmm. Adam Sandler is down the street, and Goldie Hawn and Ben Affleck. I mean, right. all these people like literally live like not within a stone throw because there's mountains, but they live in very close proximity. So not to say that they would be at the Chamber of Commerce, but it's certainly something to look into. And that's I think, important. Mm-hmm. to look at all the different opportunities of what can you do to get in front of
yeah.
people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you never know, could you never know. Become sponsors of your show as well.
You know, you are such a force to be reckoned with.
That's where a lot of mine come from. So it's definitely worth looking into. You mentioned listeners earlier. Have you been contacted by any of your listeners and they told you it was a certain episode that they listened to and it helped with their business growth or anything?
Well, I was, I just spoke to somebody yesterday, nice. Actually a potential podcast guest. And he said to me that he was listening to my 100th episode where I talk about a system, you know, the 5-Star Success Blueprint that I've developed. Mm-hmm. And he said he listened to this particular episode because he wanted to know what I was all about and if I was legit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I thought, because if I can listen to someone's solo episode, I'll know if they're full of it.
Yeah.
Or if they know what they're talking about. So I thought that was I've never heard that one, that somebody specifically and very poignantly picked out one particular episode to say, I'm listening to that to figure out if you're for real. And then after the pre-call, he says, you are for real. You confirmed what I already knew. Okay.
Wow.
And this is a big person. This is a very well-known person.
Good. Good. Actually, especially for those that want to get into podcasting, are there certain guests that have contacted you that you wanted to come on your show and you just said, no, it's not a good fit?
Oh my God. I have the best example for you. I have the best example for you. So this woman contacts me and I go on a pre-call with her. And then I look at her website, and on the website, she's a CPA. And then I said to her, well, what would you like to pitch? What's the hook you want to be on the show for? Which is something that I would expect from somebody who wants to be on my show, that at the very least, they have some sort of an idea when they talk about. And she says, personal branding. And I said, you're CPA. And she says, no, yes. But I believe that there's going to be the greatest depression of all depressions that's going to happen. So I don't want to be a CPA because it's going to be an Armageddon, which I, by the way, do not believe that that is true. And therefore, I am now a branding expert and I want to be on your show to talk about branding. And I said to her, you do know that we have established branding experts on our show that have actual businesses around branding. So may I ask what makes you the authority on branding without a business on branding, without a website on branding, with a CPA website? And then she says, well, let's just be honest here. When I'm on the really big shows, I don't need small shows like yours anymore.
Goodbye.
I said, this is the part of this interview where it's over.
I don't get some of these people that reach out and want to come on. It's nerve-wracking.
What's wrong with them?
It's like, what Kool-Aid are they drinking?
You know what? No, I mean, you obviously spend a lot of time in front of the mirror saying, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
But there has to be some sort of reality, because when we do podcasts to get authorities on a subject matter on our podcast to help our listeners to figure out one strategy, one idea, one thing that they can take away. That's our job. Our job is not to give exposure to people that suffer from wishful thinking. And not to say that she cannot be a branding expert, but it's just way too early in the game for someone like me to want somebody like that.
Yeah. So actually, how do you see the Business Growth Architect show evolving in the future?
I think that what we're going to do next is we are going to get very focused on what the growth plan is. And, generously, you had given me already some ideas in the green room before we went live, and figure out how do we get this in front of the right people more consistently, more often. I had shared that I had a hiccup with Facebook where my account was hacked and fully deleted. So hint, Facebook ads are not part of the plan, but that I'm looking at other alternatives in advertising on how I think that you have to advertise the podcast and you have to get sponsors as you have said, in order to get the exposure. It's got to be a plan like anything else. Just because it's out there, yeah, sure, you can build the field and maybe they'll come, but they'll come if you advertise where the field actually is.
Yeah.
So I think that's required now. That's one of our next goals.
So if somebody wants to come on to your show, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best thing is to reach out to my assistant at partner@beatachalette.com and say, hey, I want to be on your show. And then we have a process that we use, you know, where we schedule a pre-call. There's a little bit of vetting involved, obviously. I mean, you have to be a subject matter expert. Because we do business strategy and we talk about things like mindset, sales and marketing and branding and all these kinds of things. And the premise of the show is that you'll take away one strategy that you can implement, because I want you to have as many strategies as possible laid out so you can say, this really sounds like something that I can do. And then, you know, really go down that road and implement that. And then we do a pre-call and, you know, make sure you have a pitch for the pre-call.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell me I can talk about 16 different things. I'm not interested in 16 different things. I want a particular niche. I want you to tell me what the hook is for this show. And it can't be about your story, because we're not about the story. We are about the strategy.
Right. Exactly. And if somebody wants to hire you for your services, not the podcast, but because they want to, they need a professional growth architect. Yeah. How do they get in touch with you?
Go to uncoverysession.com and fill out a an uncovery session call, and then we'll get on a phone call and we see what you want to achieve. I use a system called the 5-Star Success Blueprint, which allows me literally in very short amount of time to figure out what needs to be done in your business. And then I'll tell you if I can help you, and I'll tell you if I can't help you, and I'll tell you if I know somebody who can help you. Because my job is to get you through the door. And then you need to be making the decision. So that's what we do. So reach out, say hello, and I'll be more than happy to evaluate what can be done and how we can help you.
So before I get to my last question, is there anything you would like to add?
Yes, I do. I want to tell all of you listeners, for anybody listening, wherever you pick up this podcast, go there now and give Rich a 5-star review. Subscribe to the podcast.
I love you.
Share this episode with one other person that needs to hear what we were talking about today. The comment is critical, and here's why, because AI rules everything. And even if you put a green heart in it that shows that you listened to the entire episode, it will help Rich to get this message in front of more people.
God, I love you. God. And do the same with her podcast as well. And actually, remember I told you about Good Pods? Good Pods, this is why I love it. You can actually review each episode of the podcast.
Oh, right.
Instead of just the podcast in general.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's like, I call it, it's a podcast app meets billboard meets social media. It's great.
I'm hooked.
And no, Good Pods does not pay me to say that. Podmatch does not pay us to mention their name either.
This is just stuff that we like and resources that we share, because we certainly spend a lot of money and a lot of really bad resources.
Yeah. So my last question for you, because I know you got to run. You've been interviewed God knows how many times.
Over 250 times.
Good Lord. Wow. Whew, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot of talking.
So out of all the hosts that you have spoken with, is there anything a host has never asked you that you wish they would have asked you? And if so, what would be that question? What would be your answer? And it doesn't have to do with business or the podcast.
You know, I think the one thing that people don't talk about is the story. What's the story that you believed in before you became successful? And what is the story that you had to solve to become successful? And what is the story now? Because in mindset work and in spiritual work and in universal laws, you either grow or die. So if you believe in a story that's an old story that kept running in your head for all this time, you're virtually dying, because you're living in a place that does no longer exist. So the more I work in what I do, the more I realize that I am now understanding what people are believing in, which is what holds them back on the poverty mindset. Or, you know, I was just in Germany and I was shocked at how so many of my family members don't have money.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, this is really interesting on what they believe in, that making money is hard, that it's dangerous, that, you know, stuff could be over at any given time, right, that life is a hard battle. I watched my mother and her story of a World War II child of surviving one more day, surviving one more day, surviving one more day, surviving one more day. And I think that if we would bring this in our interviews more often and say, what can you share with our audience that is a story that you used to believe? How did you resolve it? And how did it change for you to achieve something different? Because these stories keep coming up. They'll never stop. It's another, pardon me. It's another story that comes up.
Yeah.
On the next round. And then you resolve that. The next story comes up. You know, your love, your relationship, your value, your imposter syndrome, your marketing, your whatever, right?
Wow.
Mm.
That's a book. I think you need to write another book.
Mm.
And we didn't even talk about that. But we're, well, I'll tell you after we're done this, because you got to come back on again. And I want to throw an idea.
It'll be my pleasure.
I want to throw an idea to you once we're finished, but I want to thank you so much. It's been an honor and a true pleasure to have you on. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And stay dry. The rains have stopped, right?
I will. Thank you so much. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for all the work that you do. You're just an amazing person. And
thank you. I want to thank my guests for coming on this episode, but I really want to thank you for listening. And I would really appreciate it if you left a review about the show or about this episode. And you can actually do that right from the website. Go to conversationswithrichbennett.com. You can leave a comment about this episode. You can leave a review for the podcast in general. Another thing I would love for you to do, of course, follow us on social media. But send me a voicemail. If there is somebody you want me to get on the show, if you want to come on the show, if there is something you would like for us to discuss, send a voicemail or send an email. If you send a voicemail, if you want, I can actually play it back on a show too. So just saying. But no, seriously, I want to thank you for listening, because if it wasn't for you, the podcast wouldn't be as successful as it is. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.